time to thank them, since thanks is the key word for this month. But we have a person who's new among us, and we want you to especially greet him and express your thanks to him. This is Kyle Johnson on the drums back here, and we're so glad he's here.
Thank you.
And I want you to know he's come all the way from Arkansas.
Just to play with us.
Right. Well, actually, I want to introduce him like this. He is a gifted young man. Obviously, he's gifted on the drums. He's gifted in many other areas as well. But he has moved along with his family. His father is the choir director, music director, Carrie Johnson, and his mother is Martha. And they have now officially moved from Arkansas to Cary because they needed to sell the house. Now it's just a matter of unpacking a lot of boxes and doing that kind of thing. But it's been hard on them recently because Cary has been here and going back and forth and trying to, in a sense, you know, care for his family back in Arkansas while still be here and leading us. Well, now the family is all here, and for that we're very grateful. But it has been hard on them, and so I want you to especially be kind to Cary and Martha and Kyle as they're here with us now as a part of our church family. So thank you very much, Kyle, for coming and being a part of us today. The scripture today is from Matthew's Gospel, the 20th chapter, verses 1 through 16. This is a parable that Jesus tells, and that I think always has people scratching their heads once they hear it. So feel free to scratch your head. It'll be okay. It won't be the first time. And then we'll talk about it. Listen for the Word of God. "For the kingdom of heaven," Jesus said, "is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into the vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around. And he said to them, 'Why are you standing here idle all day?' And they said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, 'Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last, and then going to the first.' When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now, when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to the last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?' So the last will be first, and the first will be last." And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I can remember from a very early age, my mother taught me to write thank you notes. And it stuck with me. It stuck with me because not only did I learn that in my family, but I also learned to express thanks in Sunday school. My Sunday school teachers taught us about thanksgiving. We, of all people, have so much to be thankful for. First of all, because of Jesus. But one of the ways in which we share God's love with other people is that we express our thanks to them. So from a very early age, both within my home and at church, I learned to say thank you. I did it. So what happened along the way? Because I have to confess something I wish I didn't have to confess. These words have actually come out of my mouth at various times. Thanks for nothing. What happened? How did I ever get to that place in which I would just say, thanks for nothing? Well, let's reflect upon that a little bit, because perhaps that's been your experience as well. We've all been trained to say thanks, but as we grow up, sometimes something happens to the thanks, and we tend to grumble and complain more. Whenever I share this parable, I ask people, how many of you think that this parable is a parable about fairness? Raise your hand. Okay, that's good. How many kind of think that there's some unfairness in this parable? Yeah, sure. The reason that we probably think, and by the way, most people say that they would say they struggle with this parable. They scratch their head. They say, well, what's the purpose of this parable? It needs to be interpreted. The reason for the confusion is that when this story is told, this parable is told, almost everyone identifies with those who went to work in the vineyard early in the morning, and they're thinking, wait a minute. If I had been out there all day long in the scorching heat, and then these people come in at the last hour and just work an hour, and they receive the same amount of money that I receive, why, that is not right. And you know what? It's not right in our society. If this happened in the workplace, you could have a case to go and say, wait a minute, you know, we need to address an egregious wrong here. You know, I deserve more. And you would probably be right. But you see, Jesus is not sharing this parable because it's about the business world. He's sharing this parable because it's about the kingdom of God, and we need to learn how things are in the kingdom of God. And when we learn about how things are in the kingdom of God, perhaps we will see things differently. I said that most of us identify with the persons who went out early. Very little is said about, have you ever identified with the persons who went out at the last hour? Most people would probably say, no, they haven't done that. And most people would probably assume, who are these people? Perhaps lazy people. They've been standing by idle all day long, and then they get in on the goodies. Wrong. I want you to think again about these people who have been standing there idle all day long. Do you know why the people were standing there? Because no one had hired them to do work. At the end of a day, the scripture says in Deuteronomy, let the laborer have his wages. Every laborer is to receive their wage at the end of the day. Why? So they could take it and they could go home and they could take care of their family and they could provide for them. They depended upon their daily wage. It was so important. That's how people survived, on their daily wage. This landowner saw some people on the sidelines. Have you ever been on the sidelines? Choose me. No one chooses you. Hire me. No one hires you. Have you ever been on the sidelines? What am I going to do for my family? I'm their provider, but I have nothing to share with them. Have you ever been on the sidelines? Do you know what it's like to want to go to work? Do you know what it's like to want to have work to do, but no one has hired you? The good news about the kingdom of God is this, is that God calls you to do significant work for Him. You are wanted. You are a person of worth. And guess what? When you enter into this kingdom to work for the landowner, you also have purpose. Not only do you have value, but you have what's really important, and that is a reason to live. Knowing that what you do counts because it's important work. So Jesus is saying that this landowner sees some people who, largely due to no fault to their own, are on the sidelines. And in the kingdom of God, God says, those people shall receive a call to come work in my vineyard. Now, Let's go back to the persons who worked all day long. If these persons who worked all day long at the end of the day started grumbling, it's probably because the main reason that they were working was for their money and for their reward, rather than the love they had for the landowner. That tells us something, doesn't it? You know, I know now why sometimes I wind up saying thanks for nothing. Because I've identified with those who went out early and worked hard and then saw what other people got. There are five things that lead us off the path of discipleship. The first thing is this: unrealistic expectations. When we live with unrealistic expectations, we will be disappointed. And when we are disappointed, then we will complain. And I see that sometimes when we do that with our friends. If you really were my friend, you would have done all of this. You would have done this. No. Perhaps you have unrealistic expectations, and you have placed upon your friend the role that only a God can fulfill in meeting all your needs. A friend can be a friend, but you expected more. Unrealistic expectations in a marriage, unrealistic expectations in a friendship, ultimately lead you to feel deprived and then bitter and complaining. The second thing is this: forgetfulness. In the Old Testament, so often it said, "Remember, I am the Lord thy God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of slavery into the promised land. Remember what I have done." But what happened to the people? They forgot. And so one of the ways that we go off the road of discipleship into that dangerous territory of ingratitude is that we forget the blessings that God has given us. And then the third thing is entitlement. My position entitles me to this. Or perhaps my background entitles me to this. But you see, as Christians, we live according to blessings, not rights. We live by God's blessings rather than simply standing on my right or my entitlement. I heard someone say recently, "I'm really entitled to nothing, but I'm grateful for everything." That's the way it should be. And then, of course, the fourth thing, and one of the most dangerous things, is comparison. You see, because those persons who had borne the scorching sun were happy until when? Until they saw what someone else received. Comparison will always lead you to a place of frustration. And then the last thing is blindness to God's grace. In other words, we slip into that dangerous territory of ingratitude when every day we fail to see how God's grace is available to us all day long. But we are blind to it. You know, the simple blessings of life, to be able to get up, to smell fresh air. You know, Polly and I are using that little tag thing in our shower. When we step into the shower, we remember our baptism. To the simple blessing of grace, to be able to feel clean and washed. We become blinded to God's grace, that somehow or another this benevolent God has desired to bestow good gifts on us, whether we deserve them or not. All the time, I am the recipient of something that ultimately came from God, but I'm blind to it. And so I come back to something, and what I come back to is this. I come back to the understanding that if God never did anything for me according to a request or a plea, if he never did anything at all the rest of my life, it would be okay. Because of what He has already done in Jesus Christ for me. I have my purpose. I have my identity. I have my destiny. I have everything that I need in Him. And so in Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 7, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up, established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. So I come back to the faith that we have in Jesus Christ. We have received mercy and grace. More than we deserve. And therefore, of all people, we should say thanks. The challenge is simply this week. To reserve some time for you to reflect on this question. What are three blessings that you have in your life? I want you to think about three blessings that you have in your life. Three things for which you're thankful for, and that any time of the day, if you were to stop and reflect upon these three things, they would remind you of how blessed you are. I want you to identify sometime three things, write it on a piece of paper, and I want you to establish the habit of carrying that piece of paper in your pocketbook or in your billfold, and when you begin to find yourself going down that slippery path of complaining or grumbling, leading you to ingratitude and saying the thanks for nothing kind of things, pull it out and remind yourself of those three things. The second thing is simply this. I want you to pick out a day, and just try this for one day, in which you intentionally tell three people that you encounter thank you from the bottom of your heart. It could be eye to eye, it could be over the phone, or it could be a note card, but to pick out three persons. Here's a little paradox. It's not that the happy persons are the ones who say thanks. It's the ones who say thanks that are the happy ones. It's a paradox. Again, go through the day and look for things to be grateful for. And at the end of the day, sit down and ask yourself, how do I feel in my spirit now? Another day you pick out and do nothing but grumble. And at the end of the day, ask yourself, how do I feel in my spirit now? Thanksgiving is to be practiced. And it is those who are thankful who are the happy ones. If you had but one prayer to pray, and it was simply this your entire life, thank you, it would be enough. Meister Eckhart, the 13th and 14th centuries, said that. Wonderful. If you had but one prayer to pray, if you said thank you, it would be enough. The invitation for prayer is simply this. We need help because we do feel frustration in our hearts. We do have things that have caused us pain and things that have brought disorder into our lives. We can't do this on our own. We ask God to give us the grace to change our hearts. Let us stand and come forth for prayer as you're led.